I want you to turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's hear God's word together. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Know that now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you're a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Amen. May God bless us. This is the reading of his holy word. Don't misunderstand me. When I say this, I am no fan of religion. Now let me clarify that. Religion without God. I cannot think of anything worse than religion without God. Historically, people have often used the banner of religion to commit the most awful atrocities, to justify and vindicate their own evil, to live under the pretense of God's blessing in order to discriminate, to injure, to violate other people. I can think of nothing worse than religion without God. In fact, I would stand with those who would seek to criticize it. Religion manipulated, misused, is a deadly weapon. And I can understand their criticisms, and I would have joined with them if God hadn't saved me. But something changed the moment he did do that. I didn't get converted to religion. I was introduced into relationship with God. And I know that that sounds arrogant, but it's not. Because I didn't deserve it. That's why it's not arrogant. And I didn't expect it. And it came as a bit of a surprise. But yet in that relationship with God, I found so much peace, so much joy. He has given me his church to be part of. It's called his people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. The descriptions are self-evident in that passage. And whilst I'm no great fan of religion, I love the church. Now, in case you misunderstand me, I don't mean this. I'm not in love with the building. I'm in love with the people. Because God loves them. And because I love him and because you love him, we're his people together. He didn't call us to to a building. He called us to be a people, a particular type of people, a people that we should aspire to, a people that we want to become, a people who are praying, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." A people that want the church to be like this and not religion, but founded on a relationship with God. That's the church that inspires me. How do I consider meeting with you every Sunday? And by the way, this is only water, in case you think I was depressed when I said that. This is water. The story is told of a pastor who was approached by a person, and the person said to him, "Do you know what?" He said, "See, the church, no time for it." He said, "Your church, it's like any other church. It's full of people who gossip. It's full of people who ridicule others. It's full of people who do things in the workplace that they shouldn't do. Bottom line is, it's full of people who are hypocrites. So why would I bother coming through its doors of this building and seeking to do what you do every Sunday?" And the pastor stood for a moment, and he took a glass and he took some water. He filled it up. You have to be careful at this point. But he filled it to the absolute brim until he couldn't get any more in. It was a delicate exercise. And he said to the person, he said, "Take that in your hand." He said, "What I want you to do is to go outside, walk around the building a few times and come back in. Come back up to me at the front here and hand me the glass." And he said, "I'm warning you now, I don't spill a drop. It's a challenge. Try to do it." So he filled it up right to the brim. There was no more room left. And the guy carefully lifted the glass, navigating around him. He carefully went out. And being careful not to spill a drop, he came back. And he said to the pastor, "I've met your challenge." He said, "Not a drop." And he turned to me and he said, "How many hypocrites did you see on your way out and in?" He said, "You weren't even looking at them. You were too busy trying not to spill a drop. You were too busy looking at the glass that you couldn't see what was around you." Why can't you do that with God? Why can't you be so focused on Him that you don't spill a drop? Why can't you have your gaze so much fixed on Him that it's Him? It's Him. All about Him. Sure, there are hypocrites in every church. There are hypocrites outside the church. There are people who gossip in here, and there are people who gossip outside. There are people who are not living up to the things that they even know God has called them to live up to, but anyone who would look at them has lost sight of the one that we're called to follow. Jesus said, "Follow me." He didn't say, "Follow Peter, follow John." Now, if you don't follow him and you're a Christian, you'll answer to God for that. You'll give an account of why you lived the life that you lived, why you did become a stumbling block. And people who stumbled over you will also have to give an account why they were looking to them and not to him as the source of life and blessing and power. But ultimately, if we want to make this place the place that it should be, stop looking around and look up. Start focusing on him. If you can find fault in him, then walk away. Because if you're trying to find fault in us, just walk away now. Because you'll find it. But we've never claimed to be perfect. But we have claimed to worship a perfect God. We've claimed to worship someone who has never disappointed us. People will let us down every day of the week, but God has chosen and proclaimed and declared that he is faithful. I love the church simply because I love the cornerstone. I love the capstone. I love the one who gave his life for me and gave his life for you. And we could be so much if we were his royal priesthood, if we were his holy nation, if we were a people called by his name as salt and light in the communities. This little book that you will be hopefully reading through this week will introduce you to some of its themes. It's not perfect, but it's a book which opens us up for consideration, praying that my church, first of all, would remember what we are. Be a body growing into maturity. Be devoted to one another. Love and serve one another. Hold to the truth. Make known God's glory. Give generously. And this week we're going to be praying that that's what we become. That type of people. Secondly, praying that I would use my gifts well, that I would persevere when I get weary, that I would be who my family needs me to be. Praying for people in my church leaders, I want to hold them up in prayer. My small group, I want to hold them up in prayer. Children in my church, I want to bring them before God. Our young people, I want to stand in the gap for them. I want to pray for those that are not yet Christians. I want mercy ministries that will spread out to communities and change people's lives. I want to pray for the elderly who are housebound or who are facing the significant challenges of health. I want to pray for the wider church, to another church near us, our mission partners, churches far away, the unreached. What a week! What a week we're going to have this week, praying for people, praying for God's people. And I want to say just two or three things very, very simply. It's his church, not mine. It's his church, not yours. It's his church and not ours. But because I live in this church, because God has called me to be a part of this church, I will look to him and I will try to serve you and bless you. And God has called us all to put other people before us to serve them as we serve God. And when we begin to see that priority, it becomes less about us and more about him. And more about those that you could bless and edify and encourage and build up and to strengthen. It's about how your life can be a model of how to serve God. That's what your calling is to do. It is to point people to Jesus. And we want to do that together. Praying that we are a particular type of people, remembering what we are, maturing, devoted to one another, serving God, serving each other, holding to the truth, defending it, declaring it, praying it. Make known God's glory, his honor, and to give generously financially, to give generously in our gifts, to give generously in our time, to give generously in our spirit. Praying that God would use my gifts well. Are you standing up and stepping forward? Has God given you a ministry? Then use it. Use it. Find it if you can't. Explore what it is. And then serve God with it inside and outside these walls. And when we serve God in this way, broken lives are changed. I have a picture of a church that is missional in its lifestyle. In that your life and my life reaches people wherever we walk, wherever we talk, wherever we sit. That we are truly missionaries in its biggest and best sense. that 800 people fired up with Jesus in this place, loving God first, loving the person you're sitting around with a selfless love, seeking to serve God as you pour out your life like a drink offering Paul talks about. The blessing that God would enact upon us and our homes and our workplaces and in our communities is just unimaginable. That if we were living as the people of God, spreading that love out, not only to those that we sit with, but to the communities that we come from. Can you imagine the changed lives? Can you imagine the radical nature of such selfless love? Because that's what He has called us to be. Where we don't put ourselves first, but where we live for others. And we have an urgent need to get out into this broken world. We were praying this morning for people that you love. And I believe God will answer those prayers. And I believe that every person in here brought someone to God that they were concerned about for very good reason. Because you have watched their lives. And for many of the ones that you were probably bringing, they are people who maybe were close to God at one time, but now have walked away from it. Or they made a childhood confession, but they have shown no evidence of conversion or salvation after that. And you are deeply worried about them because you don't want to see them end up in a mess, or maybe they're already in a mess and you feel powerless to change that or to do anything about that. Some are even so aware of the complexity of it, they don't want to talk to anyone about it. They hold it to themselves. It burdens them day after day. They lose sleep at night. But listen, we're together. And we are not in judgment of your situation. But we have deep concern along with you for it. Are we going to use human wisdom to solve it? No. Because, believe me, I've tried. And with all the attempts in the world to convince somebody that they're on a destructive path, it falls short. Don't overestimate your capacity. Nor mine. No amount of human wisdom will resolve that situation. No amount of earthly or secular intervention will change the human heart. It may curb their lifestyle, but it will not change who they integrally are. Our belief is quite clear. Only God can. And we want God to do it for the ones that you love. But we also want God to do it for those you don't even know. We want God to do that for the brokenhearted that haven't come this morning. Because they can't. Because those people can't get out of bed. We want to do it for those who can't set the needle down. We want to do it for those who, because the enemy has broken their life, cannot repair it. And to them, life is nothing but darkness, chaos, and they have a crippling self-doubt. They are frightened to trust, frightened to hope, frightened that tomorrow may be any different, because their experience tells them it won't be. And if anything, it will get worse. Now, if you want to empty this glass and start criticizing the world and criticizing the church, go ahead. I'm not your judge. God is. But there's not enough time left on earth and in my life and in your life to empty our glasses. We need to keep them full, keep them focused, and keep them on God. And when we do that, believe that God can change the people inside and outside these walls for His glory. And that on Sundays, that there will be people who will be worshiping with you who were able to break free from addictions and religion and all sorts of things that held them captive for years, and that they wouldn't see the tattoos from head to foot, but they'd see a changed heart. I don't know how many tattoos are in this building, but I don't want you to show them to me. But I would say that we don't represent our communities. If we did, there'd be hugely different looking people gathered with us today. But that's okay. That will come. It's just not here yet. But if we lived as God's people in communities, it will change. And if you want to empty your glass when they come into church, go ahead. But nobody's listening to you. Criticize all you like, judge them all you like, say everything about them that you like. It's not going to offend God. But you might be offended when he actually counters that. For they were made in his image just like you, so what gives me or you the right to judge by appearances? I'm more concerned about what is in the heart at that point, and when you see its brokenness, you forget to look at what's on the outside of the body. But when you see what's in the inside, you weep because it needs changed, just like I did, just like you did. And finally, I'm not going to criticize any other place of worship. You know, this little book tells us to pray for other churches. Do that, I would rather you did that. Let's pray for Green Pastures. Let's pray for all the Baptist churches, all the Presbyterian churches, all the Pentecostal churches, all the churches that don't call themselves churches. Anywhere where anyone meets under Christ's name, let's just pray for them. I'm not in the business of criticizing any other denomination or church. We have enough to contend with our own. Now, if they preach heresy, then I'll start saying something. But if they're seeking to glorify God, seeking to honor God, maybe not in a way that I would choose to do it, but nonetheless people are touched by God as a result of it, and that's undeniable and a changed life, God bless them. We're with them. Amen. Well, I'd like to think he would be. I can't see a biblical reason why not. Unless someone has one, I'd like to hear it. Where people are serving, honoring God under a different label and denomination, is there a reason we shouldn't bless them in Christ? Then let's pray for them. And maybe if God heard us praying for other people more than ourselves half the time, maybe we would be different people. Challenge, yes, but wonderful challenge it is. Because imagine what sort of place it would be if we love God enough that we became a transformed people ourselves, that we loved our communities enough that we lamented at the broken hearts and took it to God in prayer and said, God, we want to see people changed. We want to see people transformed. We want to see people healed. We want to see people saved. We want to see people broken smile again. It would just be wonderful. I can't wait for that. And if I can't wait for that, I'm not going to be envious of others who are saying that. And we can bless God for them and thank God for them, because they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. What a wonderful church the people of God actually are. We are blessed to be part of it. And we want to thank God for it. Let's pray. Our amazing Heavenly Father, what lies ahead of us, only You know. But let's look forward to it. And let it be a place of blessing. In Jesus' name.